Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by Open from American Express, presenting the interactive webcast event, Making a Name for Yourself. Kate and Andy Spade and Bobby Brown discuss their leap from business to brand, created by Open from American Express. Registration at openforumonline.com.
So I'm announcing today that Khalik Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, Ramzi bin al-Shib, and 11 other terrorists in CIA custody have been transferred to the United States Naval Base at Guantanamo Bay.
President Bush, from his announcement yesterday, he says all detainees will now be considered covered by the Geneva Conventions as ordered by the U.S. Supreme Court in June, as well as moving those 14 to Guantanamo from secret prisons around the world run by the CIA. But the president wants to try those suspects under special military tribunal rules that he wants Congress to authorize. We will spend some time this morning trying to unpack this multifaceted story that has implications for so many things, including national security, human rights, and the November elections for control of Congress. There are legal, moral, safety, and political aspects to the president's announcement. My first guest for this is Barbara Olshansky. She is deputy legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights, a human rights organization that has been very much at odds with Bush administration policy and that represents some of the other Guantanamo detainees. Ms. Olshansky, thanks very much for coming on WNYC today. Hello.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
The president took these 14 suspects out of CIA custody in secret prisons abroad and put them in Defense Department custody in the known location at Guantanamo, and he acknowledged their rights under the Geneva Convention. In your opinion, did he take major steps forward to act in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and international law?
Well, he took some steps. I think it's a very telling step that that he acknowledged the existence of the secret prisons, which the administration's been denying for quite a long time. But it's clear that there are only 14 people going to Guantanamo, and there was no mention that the prisons had been closed. And we have information from everywhere that there are many more people. So I think, you know, we can be pretty sure that there are still people in secret CIA prisons. And then, you know, if you pay attention not only to what he said in the speech, but to what came out in the Department of Defense directive in the Army manual and the proposed bill, you see that that broad statement of applying the Geneva Conventions to everyone is not exactly true.
In what way?
Well, the Department of Defense directive and the bill really still create these two classifications of people. There are people who they say are POWs, prisoners of war, and what the proposed law does is gives the president the right to revise the Geneva Conventions. So only certain people that he decides, and that's specified in the law, the president decides, will get the full protections of the Geneva Convention. Others will only get the protection of Common Article 3, which talks about getting basic judicial protections and no outrages against dignity.
And it was Common Article 3 that the U.S. Supreme Court in June basically required the administration to uphold. So the rest, you're saying, is voluntary and the president isn't making any promises.
That's true. And about Common Article 3, the president is saying that, well, you know, there might be international law that governs how Article 3 is supposed to be implemented. And it is very specific, by the way, and looks very much like our military justice and civilian justice guarantees. But what the administration is saying is, well, we're going to define what you get under Common Article 3.
And that's what he's asking Congress to do, is basically interpret what degrading and humiliating treatment, the wording of the Geneva Convention Common Article 3 means. We're actually going to talk about that more in depth with another guest coming up a little bit later. And I want to get back right now to the secret prisons. The president announced the removal of these 9/11 suspects and others from CIA custody and from secret prisons, but he seemed to defend the secret prisons and the interrogation techniques used there. Here's another clip of the president's speech in which he does that, speaking specifically of the 9/11 suspect being moved to Guantanamo, Abu Zubaydah.
We knew that Zubaydah had more information that could save innocent lives, but he stopped talking. As his questioning proceeded, it became clear that he had received training on how to resist interrogation. And so the CIA used an alternative set of procedures. These procedures were designed to be safe, to comply with our laws, our Constitution, and our treaty obligations. The Department of Justice reviewed the authorized methods extensively and determined them to be lawful. I cannot describe the specific methods used. I think you understand why. If I did, it would help the terrorists learn how to resist questioning and to keep information from us that we need to prevent new attacks on our country. But I can say the procedures were tough, and they were safe and lawful and necessary.
Now, we're going to go right on to another clip of someone else who the president designated to speak yesterday. This is Lieutenant General John Kimmons, Army Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence. In the clip we just heard, you heard the president say, "I cannot describe the specific methods used. I think you understand why. If I did, it would help the terrorists learn how to resist questioning. But I can say the procedures were tough and they were safe and lawful and necessary." Now, here is Lieutenant General Kimmons listing specific interrogation techniques that will no longer be considered acceptable as of now.
They may not use waterboarding, they may not use hypothermia or treatment which will lead to heat injury, they will not perform mock executions, they may not deprive detainees of the necessary food, water, and medical care, and they may not use dogs in any aspect of interrogations.
We're getting reaction to the president's speech and proposals yesterday, first from Barbara Olshansky, Deputy Legal Director at the Center for Constitutional Rights, a group that's often been at odds with Bush administration policy and represents some Guantanamo detainees. Ms. Olshansky, how do you take those two clips together? It seems on the one hand that the lieutenant general is banning some techniques that presumably were used in the past, and the president is, in a general way, defending them.
Well, I think you've hit on it. I think that there's this split. There is what the Department of Defense says they are, you know, banning for the detainees in their custody. And there, you know, there's a limited set, I think, of eight specific things. And, of course, that's a very different way of defining torture than we have under our Constitution or and under international law.
What do you mean?
Well, because torture really is, you know, when you cause someone serious mental or physical suffering. And what that means is you have to train your soldiers to understand that, you know, there's lots of things that people can do to torture people. It's not just the eight things that are listed. Those happen to be eight horrible things that we did,
But why isn't it protecting prisoners to identify those eight and then ask Congress, as the president did, to identify however many others to make specific, you know, the general language of the Geneva Conventions that says no humiliating or degrading treatment?
Well, because I think the eight is good, and there's no mistaking that, you know, having something there is good, especially the things that were horrific that we used. But the president isn't asking Congress to define the rest. What the president says is, well, that language that was the McCain Amendment in the Detainee Treatment Act that just prohibited cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment, that fulfills our obligations. That's what the bill says. And the problem with that is that, of course, that's not specific, and Congress doesn't really, in the bill, get any opportunity to define that. And the detainee language that was the McCain Amendment We can't enforce that. It is unenforceable. The Detainee Treatment Act prevents us from going into court and, you know, objecting to the treatment in order to enforce that provision. So it's basically completely unenforceable. And the other aspect of this is when the president's defending what he calls the CIA program, in fact, the CIA program is a program of torture. And he wants to continue to use that program, and he wants the American people to say it's okay.
He says specifically the CIA, nor any, you know, not the CIA, nor any branch of the United States government engages in torture. So then I guess the debate is over what constitutes torture,
well,
even still.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. And here's where, like, the wordplay happens all the time. The president's definition of torture, and he was very clear in the speech that he said, as approved by the Department of Defense and also the Office of Legal Counsel, if you look in the memos that were released by the White House, what you see is their definition of torture, this administration's definition of torture, is one where it's only comprised of acts which lead to complete organ failure or death.
But that was then in those memos. And doesn't this and this new Army field manual with those specific prohibitions really tighten that up and consign that other very broad definition to history?
I don't think so. I think what the president is saying is, you know what, there was this secret executive order. I authorized the prisons. I authorized the CIA to go beyond what we did in the United States. And then he talks about how people wouldn't talk and what they had to get tougher and then more tough and then more tough. And that is really about torture. And that's a separate program. That CIA program that he wants us to sanction is very different from what the Department of Defense is going to do openly in the facilities that it
so
oversees.
You're saying that anybody under CIA custody is still subject to other interrogation techniques than the Army Field Manual lays out. We're going to run out of time in a couple of minutes, then we're going to bring on another guest. I'm curious, will your group, who represents some detainees at Guantanamo, volunteer to represent Khaled Sheikh Mohammed, Abu Zubaydah, or Ramzi bin al-Shib?
Well, we haven't even had an opportunity to discuss that. I think, you know, we have to have an internal discussion about taking on more and whether we would take on those particular detainees.
From what you know, do you see them as different from the kinds of Guantanamo detainees you have chosen to represent thus far?
No, you know, we started the case to get people the right to go to court. And it is a case about, you know, really about the rule of law. We didn't give people their rights under the Geneva Convention, and then we held them for 4.5 years without letting them get to a court at all. And so our involvement has been to push the administration for the rule of law. And that's something that's the fundamental battle we're still in, because this new bill wants to strip that right again, the right to go to court, from all of the Guantanamo detainees.
By the way, that issue
for everyone, I think, still applies, right? Every person that's in our custody, you know, that's the law that we've applied since 1215. You know, you get to challenge the legality of your detention.
And we'll talk more about that with our next guest and include what would be grounds for a lawsuit and what would not under the bill the president wants. Very briefly, about Abu Zubaydah, the recent book on U.S. policy since 9/11 by Ron Suskind apparently cast doubt on his alleged central role in 9/11. Salon has an article on this from the 1% Doctrine, the book, and it says it reveals that at least one top FBI analyst considered Zubaydah, quote, an insane, certifiable split personality, unquote, and that he was mainly responsible only for logistics like travel arrangements. 10 seconds. You have any reaction to that?
Well, I do have a reaction, and that is based on the fact that the United States has taken this really overbroad approach of sweeping in many people. We did it internally with immigrants that we had uncorroborated tips on, people that did nothing, and we had to let thousands of people go because
and that's
they
where
had
we
no
have
connection.
To leave it with Barbara Olshansky from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.